Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert. I'm still not caught up on Stranger Things. Sorry. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex. And really, Jared, you can't do paradiddles? Come on, man.
And...
I'm Mark, and Oasis of Youth is coming back on the CN app.
So, well, I mean, yeah. I saw it in that video thing, but I keep hearing people saying, like, oh, it'll air on television, which, I mean, I hope so. It's been a while since we've had to get Steven Bomb.
Yeah, it's like, how many months? Like, man, almost 6 months.
Man,
almost
yeah, like April, I think.
I have a year. That's...
Cartoon Network, more scheduling than... Actually, no, I'm not going to say a certain podcast name because I have good connections I want to keep.
Well, I mean, it kind of seems like they've sort of been trying. I mean, just the fact that they got back original Teen Titans and original Ben 10 back into the schedule in what you could consider prominent places is at least slightly promising.
Yeah, that's true. I will say I see a regular show on there again, but that's a Halloween special. But yeah. But fuck it, at least they acknowledge it exists. I think
after 9 months of nothing,
I'm gonna watch all of the regular show Halloween specials, all of them.
And when is that Blu-ray box set coming out, guys? Come on!
Look, just because you buried it in a time capsule in the park in space doesn't mean you can't, like, I don't know, use some alien technology to, like, make a duplicate and, like, ship it out to the masses, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, Samurai Jack. Hmm.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah. Which I still haven't bought yet. Damn it. money. But anyway, episode 57. How have you guys been doing?
I've been doing all right. Getting cold outside, so I had to put my jacket on, which I like it. It's not so unbearably hot anymore, which is good. I've just been...
Oh, you too?
Yeah. I've been keeping my eyes glued to this crazy, crazy World Series, which, whew, that makes for some fun baseball. And I've also been reeling in the fact that my free boys are coming back next summer.
I guess the summer really is eternal after all.
Yes. Yes, it is. I cannot wait to cry all over again.
And I still have other animes I need to catch up on. What about you, Mark? All.
Let's see. It's cold as shit here. Because yeah, it's starting to get cold here. And yeah, you could say what was better than a hot summer, but yeah, it's still fucking freezing.
It's just Mother Nature can never find the right balance. Like, especially because we're dealing with the same thing down here. And I noticed that as soon as the temperature started getting down to 69 degrees. Nice. Because it's like, okay, cool off with the heat for a second. No, that's not what I meant. Shut up. Wind. Chill. Things. But yeah, whatever. That's...
Yeah, it's like... Yes, like, yeah, like, you turn it a little bit cooler. It's like, I didn't mean that cold! Shit! This is what I expect from December! Not late, maybe October, but maybe late, but damn, this cold!
Yeah, such is life, you know. But anyway, as for me, I've been doing quite a bit of stuff this past week. Finally reached, like, the halfway point of my rotation shows at the station. Not to mention, I finally gave in to the urge to play Puffy AmiYumi on air. What? They had a CD there. What do you want from me?
I'm not saying nothing.
I noticed. I noticed from your tweets you did it. Like, okay.
The best part was that it was specifically the soundtrack from the cartoon. Someone there knows. And they're legit, man. That's it. Let's see, what else? I realized that I do not have the most adequate setup for attempting to stream the video games. Yeah, so I got Wolfenstein The New Colossus. I've been playing a whole bunch of that over the weekend. So much fun to kill the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
And clan dudes.
Yay!
It's always fun.
So yeah, there was that. What else? Oh, I played a show with my band actually last night, the night before we're recording this. Kind of an interesting venue. It's actually pretty close to my house. Like, usually the venues are like 20 minutes. This one was only like 9, 10. Not to mention, it was literally right across the street from a Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's. Ooh. Also, like, sometime after the show or, like, before the last band went on, me and the bassist were chilling out with some dudes, like, on the patio who were kind enough to share some chicken wings with us. And they seemed very impressed by my ability to get all the meat off the bone. You don't waste the meat, man. Gotta get all that meat off them wings.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that right, Chris?
That is true. That's true.
But we'll get to him
wings.
Soon.
We eat wings. Eat all the meat. Don't just leave. I mean, get all the fucking meat. Don't just leave like some little bit. Like, get every meat you can.
Yeah. Be like Joji. Clean the bones. Let them know you were there.
Or, you know, like Gary Vaynerchuk. That's a motherfucker with some clean bones. But we'll get back to Mr. Chris of Jericho soon. But yeah, that's basically everything on my end. You know, decent amount of stuff to do. And with all that out of the way, let's actually get into the new song discussion for the past week. Not a whole lot, only about, what, like 7 songs, really? But, you know, we'll talk some stuff, and maybe there's something here you'll find interesting. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us. Listen, you know, come back to this, and then comment along with us, or make fun of us because reasons. And starting from the top, you know, I only really did this to myself, so I guess I can't be that mad, but Five Finger Death Punch. So
well, better
using
me.
They're releasing a compilation record, A Decade of Destruction. Fuck, these guys have been around for 10 years. Shit. But yeah, A Decade of Destruction, due out December 1st, you know, at a time when no one's really going to give a shit. And we have one of two new songs that we're going to be featured on that called Trouble. And, hoo boy, is this dirt simple and basic as fuck. I'm reminded why I never did a deep dive into their albums or anything. Because, again, the guitar progressions and the melodies and all that shit are simple as dirt. And the vocals, again, this shit just sounds straight up like fucking some Chris Jericho spoken word bullshit. And especially the production work on the drums is so, like, limp and stale, man. Like, holy shit, these people have more money than most other rock bands will, and they can't access better producers? Or are the producers just fucking jerking off here?
well, this Five Finger Death Punch song, it's a song with a structure and chords and verses and a chorus. That's pretty much all I can say about it.
Yeah, pretty much. But let's move on from that to our next song's list. So as I'm sure we all know, November is just around the corner, usually around the time when we get some new shit from Disney and or Pixar, the next offering of which being a film adaptation of the OT Genesis song, Coco. Oh, wait, I got that wrong in my notes here. No, that's some Dia de los Muertos type shit. To which all I can say is, I hope it's better than the Book of Life. I mean, let me put it like this. As long as there is no sequence of a mariachi rendition of Radiohead's Creep, I think Coco will be fine.
Oh, God.
Okay.
What the fuck even was that? But anyway, so, of course, it's sort of being billed as, like, this musical thing, you know, about this kid, this Mexican kid named Miguel who wants to be a musician, so he goes to the land of the dead to find out about his legacy and why his family hates music, yada, 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 all good. So I guess it's appropriate that one of the songs on the soundtrack that I assume will pop up in the music at some point is, you know, a contribution from a Hispanic singer named Miguel. You know him. He's had a few albums under his belt. I kind of sort of know him from that one Adult Swim single from, like, 2013.
It was 2012. I think I heard him before. I know you're, like, a R&B type of guy, although I think I've heard him in some few songs, but not that much to know him all that well.
But yeah, what we got here is a song called Remember Me, parentheses, duo. Because it actually is like a duet with a Spanish singer named Natalia Lafourcade. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And, you know, it's basically more or less functioning as your typical, you know, soundtrack piece for this kind of thing, you know. It's got those Spanish, you know, flamenco acoustic guitar things. They sound very nice with a comforting vibe. The vocal performances are standard, you know, they get the job done. They kind of make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside as the lyrics are all about, you know. You know, I swear, I hope you remember me as we were, like, very separated apart because of life circumstances and all that. And, of course, like, half the song's in Spanish. I assume most of the Spanish parts are just sort of reiterating the English language lyrics. It's alright. It's pretty much just this song that's supposed to, like, get the job done in a soundtrack sense, and it works.
Yeah, it's overall a decent Disney song. I got here, like... Yeah, it's very, you know, that soundtrack song you expect to hear when, you know, when I'm guessing that might show up in the end credits or maybe in the middle of the movie, but they want to know it sounds all right.
Yeah, so here's hoping the movie's good at least. Got about another few weeks, November 22nd, we shall see. And now let's move on to our boy anime. Shit, I got it wrong again. Amine.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that guy.
Amelie. Oh.
Okay, yeah, so anyway, apparently, so he's back with another song, another song fresh from his debut album, Good For You, which, like I said, it was a decent pop rap album. And I will say this for his latest single, which is called Squeeze. This ain't nothing like that. This did nothing like the album. Like, you supposed to hear like some bright poppy beats, but no, this is some hard hitting bass shit you hear from this guy. Like, he does maybe do some a bit more braggadocious type of shit, and he does do some pitch shifting in his vocals, maybe like halfway in the song. Let me think, this song is also short, like it's like 2 minutes or so, close to 2 minutes. But yeah, this is like it's been some different for me. And it's like he's trying some different shit, which is okay. Like the song is, it's aight. I'm like, it's okay. I'll listen to it maybe once or twice, but yeah.
Yeah, it definitely tries to, like, you know, bang a lot harder than a lot of, like, the sugary, sweet, like, bubblegum, sticky kind of hooks from, you know, anything off of Good For You. Not sure it's all that memorable, though, but, again, this could be just a one-off. I highly doubt he'd have something else ready, like, this quickly, so we shall see. Mm-hmm. But now let's move on to the one really interesting song we had this week, and that is, of course, this past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program, which thankfully is only 10 minutes instead of 180 minutes. And this one is, of course, one of the bigger, more anticipated ones from electronic music icon slash legend Brian Eno, who, of course, released his latest album, like, at the very start of the year, so... He's had some, you know, time to prepare some stuff. And this one is actually a collaborative effort. His partner in crime being none other than My Bloody Valentine's own Kevin Shields. With a track called Only Once Away, My Son. Sorry, I have that, like, as an instinctual tick. But this is not classic rock. This is, of course, your very sort of droning sort of electronic type of thing where it's very saturated walls of noise that kind of swell, you know, crescendo really loud, kind of have like these small dips, and you can kind of make out these like occasionally these kind of booming kick drums. The synths are of course shimmering and occasionally kind of have like this brassy orchestral quality to them, like, you know, a wall of trumpets or trombones, sort of just enough of that tinge for you to notice some great touches of bass synths. And yeah, there's lots of twinkling bells, bleepy, bloopy, computery stuff in there. It's one of those musical journeys that's definitely more manageable than last week. And, you know, this is another, like, really good one from the program.
Mm-hmm. This is atmospheric as fuck, man. It made my headphones boom because it was so loud.
Very loud.
Oh yeah, this is basically what they said. This is well, very, you know, very ambient atmosphere and all that Jordan shit. Yeah.
Good times. I continue to look forward to what they have to offer. But speaking of stuff that we're not looking forward to, so this Friday, of course, Mr. Samuel of the Smith is dropping The Thrill of It All, and we have another new song from that album. You know, might as well, because we need to fill time somehow. It's a track called Burning, which, okay, on a musical front, this is slightly better than Praying, because at least the piano's here, like the actual melody, melodic construction and the chord progression is at least somewhat more interesting than the laid back, bland as hell, like basically two chords that made up, you know, the previous single. But I don't know, man, there's still something about the way he sings in this context that really fucking bugs me. Like, just, it's like Adam Levine trying to do a John Legend song.
Oh God, no.
It's like, you know what, I'll just listen to John Legend. At least his voice doesn't get on my nerves. But that's just me.
Yeah, like I guess that's the last week, or at least last time I talked about a Sam Smith song. Can I just listen to John Legend instead? The actual good singer that doesn't suck.
And I guess Alex has no other snarky comments, so I suppose we shall move on.
Nope, I don't.
Oh, great. So before we get into our next song, let me just say congratulations to the recent engagement between Cardi B and Migos member Offset. We sincerely hope that you have a happy marriage in the future, however long that lasts. We know celebrities usually have turbulent relationships, but who knows, maybe things may work out for these people. Now, or at least just Offset and his crew, can you all just not get in the studio or something? Like, ever, please?
And they said, too late!
Please tell me you end up having, you know, kids so that it keeps you busy and not having to record music. Because, yeah, apparently these guys, after, like, I forget if it was, like, December or, like, January of this year where they dropped Culture.
January,
right. And apparently they've been prepping a Culture 2. And I don't know if this is a song from it, but we got a team up between Migos, Cardi B, and Nicki Minaj called Motorsport. And, yeah, this is, again, one of those songs where it's like, Migos are somehow the worst part of it. Because, again, it's that type of song where it's like the trap beats, but for some reason, their performances, especially in the chorus, it sounds really auto-tune, which the auto-tune wouldn't bother me so much. But when it's combined with that staccato flow and delivery that many of the Migos members like to use, it makes it so fucking annoying to pick out even, like, one word, any single word from the friggin' lyrics, but it's not like it really matters. It's all about, you know, ballin', motorsport, you know, getting high as fuck, drinking booze and all that. And, of course, naturally, because of the deficiency of their flow, it's no surprise that they get outclassed by Cardi B and Nicki, who I can at least understand, and who seem like they're trying to put some effort into the flow and the cadences. But, whatever, it's just another Migos song. I don't know how to say it in percentages, but, again, the Cardi B and Minaj stuff is fine. The other three dudes, just no. Go back to trying to draft the next underwhelming Twitter meme.
Yeah, I got nothing else to say. I got much nothing else to say about this song. It's like, it's a Migos song. Cardi B versus fine. Nicki Minaj is okay at best. The only thing I actually like about this is the cover art of it.
Yeah. You gotta know, like, when the best thing going for you is your singles cover art, you got some problems. Not to mention, yeah. I'm pretty sure the main YouTube upload of this is doing that thing that they did with Post Malone's Rockstar, where they just loop the chorus 5 times and then post that on YouTube.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was a
name. That's annoying.
Man, that was a bitch. Other than, like, I gotta find this fucking... Yeah, you gotta go to Spotify for that shit.
Yeah, how fun. But, yeah, now we're basically on to our last song of the week, which we're going to end on something decent. Now, on my desk, right next to, you know, the laptop I got on my left, microphone in front of me, notepad, then the mouse, then all the way right here is my trusty original model PSP. And much like a lot of people, I mainly heard of this thing through a particular set of advertisements, one that featured a rather classic song called Take Me Out by the group Francis of the Ferdinand. And, you know, I actually have that album with that song. That was like their first album, I think. I like it, but I haven't engaged with their music outside of that, so... Apparently, they've been still going at it because they've announced their fifth album coming out February 9th. Way to get ahead of the game there, guys. it's called Always Ascending, and they've released the title track of that album as its lead single. Now, as I said, it's been a while since I've engaged with their music, so I've missed about who knows how many songs, or like, let's say maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of content. But as for the song, it's alright. It's got this kind of floaty, like, piano chords with some light synths, these very soft-spoken vocals, but then once it gets, and that's more like the build-up, but once it gets into the main verses and choruses, it's a lot more upbeat. It's got these very kind of creative disco-style drum arrangements. The guitar chords are like those kind of funky, glossy, like, syncopated kind of riffs, and there's even occasionally these little, fills in like the bass and guitar where it's almost kind of like this chromatic digression just going back and forth through a few notes out there. It's solid enough for an indie song. Like I said, I don't know how to contextualize this overall. I'd have to see the other three albums that I missed, but I might keep an eye out on this one.
Mm-hmm. I honestly don't have much to say about this. The song is... I feel nothing towards it. I'm just wondering, how does a one-hit wonder put out a fifth album?
Well, I mean, remember, we're talking about an indie rock band, so this would be like, as Todd calls it, these guys were the winners of the Fluke Indie Sweepstakes. And those guys managed to do okay, I guess. Remember, there's always... You're always going to have, like, that surge of, like, the people who know you for the one song. But the people who really like your stuff are going to stick around, even if it's just a niche crowd. That's just kind of how life is.
Well, I guess they made enough money from Apple all those years ago.
Don't you mean Sony? Or wait, were they in Apple commercials, too?
Pretty sure they were.
I'm pretty sure that was Jet. Who suck. Fuck Jet. But that's neither here nor there. And, yeah, that's basically it for the song discussion. And we only really got one topic, but it's going to take up quite a bit of time. So we're going to go on a little break. And when we come back, we'll find out what that topic is. So stay tuned. And we're back. Like I said, we only really have one topic to cover here, but it's a pretty big one that'll take up the entire back half of the show. And unfortunately, since this primarily involves rock and metal, it's mostly going to be me and Alex. So Mark is just going to hang around in the background, you know, drink a milkshake, maybe, you know, watch some TV unless he has a snarky comment to add. So yeah.
Pretty much.
Bye-bye. Past week... was the latest iteration. Actually, I'm not sure, because I saw the original posting said inaugural, but they've done this before, it looks like. Yeah. Whatever. The 2017 Loudwire Music Awards. You know, Loudwire, one of the big rock and metal publications out there on the interwebs, mm-hmm. doing that whole award show thing with all the voting and the, you know, speeches and the awards and... Well, this year, hosted by none other than a man who cannot handle his fucking wings, bitch, Chris Jericho. Oh, boy.
These are the wings of Jericho. Lay them out, man. And don't finish them because you can't handle your wings, man.
Straight up. So let's actually get into this nonsense, this... 3 hour and 40 minute long thing.
Yeah, and let me just get a few things out of the way. This was broadcast live on Access TV at like 10 o'clock Eastern, so this went on for 3.5 hours uninterrupted. And it was also live on Loudwire's Facebook page and WWE's Facebook page, which is kind of funny because the censoring going on for this show was very, very, very off. I mean, somebody would say fuck and it would just cut out for 5 seconds. But, you know, sometimes they get it right and they stop somebody from saying they would just continue on. But someone would just say, oh, fuck yeah, and it's, you know, it'll just go on coming back. You know, kind of like that.
Well played, sir. And wait, that was censoring? I thought the whole thing was just having fucking audio issues the whole time, but no, we'll get to that in a minute.
The censor was drunk.
So anyway, the show opens up with a performance of In This Moment, apparently with Rob Halford of Judas Priest there as well, and the whole thing, like, I'm watching this, I'm sort of zoning out already, until they say the phrase, a nice night for a black wedding, and at that point, I'm doing the Shaft head tilt. What?
Ow.
But apparently, yeah, it turns out their latest album just happened to have a song called Black Wedding, which featured Rob Halford on it, so, mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah. It was an okay performance. I've never been all that deep into In This Moment.
Never gave a shit about them either, but...
Yeah. Always cool to see Rob Halford, though.
Yeah, cool. So after that first performance, they perform another song after that, we get the title sequence, and afterwards we get, you know, the first host bit from Mr. Chris Jericho, which, mm-hmm, you know, I just realized this was the same week as his Hot Ones interview. I wonder if they scheduled around that.
I'm pretty sure that was taped in advance.
Probably. Not to mention... So he starts off his monologue and stuff. He's trying to get people in the mood. He makes a bunch of weak sauce slams at the Grammy Awards, you know, just because they commit the crime of going on exactly as long as this award show did. So, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. Apparently, one of the members of Aerosmith once called him a douche. Apparently, the LA Jets would totally win the World Series or something. A bad Matthew McConaughey impression and a bad jab at Harvey Weinstein, which, yeah, come on, dude, get with the times. It's all about Kevin Spacey now. Dickbag.
I will say, though, he is better at being a host than Dave Mustaine was at the Golden Gods. But then again, the bar is so low anyway.
Pretty much. After that, there was also, like, a raffle giveaway. Eddie Money comes out on stage for some reason. You know, it's already 20 minutes in. At this point, it's 20 minutes in. And then we get, like, one of the few legitimately entertaining moments of the night. This pretty funny sketch featuring none other than Steel Panther as, like, this accounting firm that's, like, keeping track of everything at the show. Like, they're accountants and shit. And you actually learned some very impressive things. For example, I did not know that you were not legally allowed to write off capital gains tax. Interesting.
Who'd have thought?
Yep. Then they come back out on stage. Then, you know, Chris Jericho comes back and we get the first major award of the night. This first one being presented by a smorgasbord of various guitarists, because it's the best guitarist award. We get former Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie guitarist John Five. We get Steve Vai, Gary Holtz from Exodus and Slayer, and Alex Skolnick of Testament. And we'll let Alex take over with the nominations and the winner.
All right, so the nominees for best guitarist, which all four of those guys should have been involved in, but hey, who am I to judge? Tosin Abasi is from Animals as Leaders. Sin and Zach from Avenged Sevenfold. Brent Hines and Bill Kelleher from Mastodon. Dave Mustaine and Megadeth lead guitarist number 12, Kiko Lurero from Megadeth.
Wait, I thought Mark it was Trimani. Number 17.
It all bleeds together. Mark Tremonti from Alter Bridge. And the winner, of course, was Zach Wilde, because Zach Wilde.
It should have been the Chocolate Master.
Should have been the Gent God with those sexy fingers, Tosin Abasi.
But whatever, it is what it is. We gotta kiss Zach Wilde's ass for reasons that will become apparent later. So after that, you know, he accepts the award, and then we get some kind of backstage bit. And, okay, I've been meaning to ask. I don't know if you got a better, like, note on this than I did, but I was trying to figure out who the two dudes were that were doing, like, these sort of backstage carpet interview things. One of them looked like Jamie Josta, and I think the other one was Jose Mangan, I think.
I'm pretty sure it was Jose Mangan and Jimmy Josta.
Yeah, and there was this bit where they were interviewing Avenged Sevenfold, just asking them about stuff.
Yeah, by the way, I skipped all those bits, so, you know, I'll let you cover that.
Yeah, it was just, you know, they were talking about, like, I think body count and stuff, because afterwards, out came Billy Grazide of the band Biohazard and Cypress Hill member Sendog to introduce the body count performance. So they performed a couple songs. They, of course, performed No Lives Matter and Civil War. Heck, they even brought out Dave Mustard Stain to come out and perform his solo on the song.
Yeah.
And, okay, at this point, this is where I had my first comment, because I didn't know it was being censored, because it was, I thought it was just purely a live webcast, so I didn't think they would need to censor the word fuck, but, yeah, at this point, like, half the audio was just, like, chopping out, like, so much. I thought it was something wrong with the live stream itself, to be honest.
It wasn't, because I was watching this on YouTube because Loudwire put the whole thing up after it finished. And, yeah, it was all there because Access were the ones who were not only broadcasting it but producing it. And the guy handling the seven-second delay clearly was drunk off his ass because he was just having a very off night. He just got everything messed up. And it kind of ruined this great performance because that damn sensor bleep would just cut in every 5 seconds.
Yeah, but I made an observation by this point of the show. I'd say one thing about it is that compared to the Revolver Music Awards, at least this looks like it actually had a budget.
Well, obviously, because it's Loudwire, they make a whole lot of money from those top 10 videos.
Very clearly, yes. I mean, heck, the bass player even had a nice comfy chair to sit in. For some reason.
And for some reason, his bass tone sounded like Fieldy from Korn.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, dear God, I just remembered he's releasing a bass album.
Called Basically.
And no, Fantano, I won't let that sink in. That sink knows what it did. But anyway, after that, we got the award for Breakthrough Band of the Year. You know, speaking of bass players, this was presented by two bass players, David Elfson, longtime bassist of Megadeth, and Rex Brown of Pantera. The nominees are Avatar, Beartooth, Bloodclawed, Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, King Woman, and Royal Thunder. And the award goes to Beartooth.
Because nothing says breakthrough like giving an award to a band that had been around for years.
Shit, at this point I would prefer Avatar because, okay, I'm sort of doubling, like, I'm sort of walking back a bit because I'm guessing they mean breakthrough and, like, they've toiled for a while in the underground and this is only now that they're getting big mainstream recognition, but Beartooth's always been mainstream. Like, holy shit, this is the fucking band that had Caleb Shomo from Attack Attack.
Okay, we'll get to Mice and Men momentarily.
After that, we got a montage of people praising the almighty Tony Iommi. Fun fact, apparently the awards they were giving out this show were made from a cast of his hand doing the devil horns. And this was, you know, all coming out on stage to present some kind of a lifetime achievement award given to him by Zakk Wylde, which featured a weird sequence where Chris Jericho was praising his ass and his penis. Because that's what you want. That's the type of banner you want to hear during an award show, clearly.
Clearly.
I mean, see, you know, his penis is okay.
You know, it's just a bunch of, you know, big, muscular, sweaty guys all hanging around, five from each other because they're not gay.
I mean, hey, if this was, like, free Eternal Summer, fine, go ahead. But, like, I don't think that's what they were going
except,
for.
Well, I mean, except for Rob Halford, but he gets a pass. He gets a pass. He is the metal god.
After that, we get a quick bit of Jose, I'm assuming, talking with Anthrax on that back carpet. Then we cut to Of Mice and Men taking the stage to introduce the next live performance of the night from the band Nothing More. Now, as I said, I heard a couple singles from this band. I'm not sure my eagerness to hear a full album, but Watching the performance, the song itself was okay, but credit to frontman, let me see if I get this right here, Johnny Hawkins. I'll give him credit that compared to the quality of music he's playing, he certainly got more stage presence and charisma than you would expect from other bands of this ilk. Although there's a point where we get a bunch of chipmunk voice shit, yeah, where okay, I'm pretty sure they were doing a cover of Skrillex's First of the Year.
Yes, they were. Now, I have a couple questions. Why was this singer not wearing a shirt? What was up with that keyboard rig? Why did it look like some kind of animatronic dinosaur skeleton? And why a Skrillex cover?
Just, you know, to be honest, it kind of looks like the type of shit that you'd see, like, Chris Fenn or Sean Cran playing with at a Slipknot fucking event.
Yeah. It's just... but then, who's the singer from Mice and Men?
Right now, it's Aaron Pauly.
Yeah, he came on stage to perform a cover of Audioslave's Show Me How to Live with Nothing More, and it was pretty good. It saved this performance from being completely terrible and or weird.
Oh, is that what that was? I actually couldn't tell it was a cover. I don't know any Audioslave outside of the song Cochise. What? I don't have the motivation to get around to Audioslave. Sorry. But, yeah, afterwards, after that, Jericho introduces back onto the stage, where Jericho introduces the members of Crown the Empire, and I don't think it was the entirety of August of Bruins Red. I'm pretty sure it was Jake Lurs and Matt Greiner to present the Best Bassist Award, and this is where someone needed to signal the Glenn Fricker alarm. Seriously, is it too much to ask for these award shows to get, like, people who know how to deliver a joke in order to, like, roast bass players? But anyway, the award for Best Bassist, the nominees are Derek Boyer of Suffocation, Frank Bello of Anthrax, Matt Freeman of Rancid, Mike Kerr of Royal Blood, Rex Brown, and shock of all shocks, the award goes to Steve Harris of Iron Maiden.
Damn right.
Now, unfortunately, Iron Maiden could not be in attendance of the show, so Jericho, as a favor to the band's manager, Rod Smallwood, really, accepted the award on his behalf. Sorry, I still can't process that's his fucking name. That's a fucking porn stage name. I'm just saying. Anyway,
Rod Smallwood.
What porn are you watching?
I don't have to answer that question. You know, it's just, you know, what I watch sometimes.
We know anyway.
Anyway, after that, we get a montage of Rob Halford praise, cutting to Anthrax coming on stage to present yet another Lifetime Achievement Award to Mr. Rob. And, okay, I'm going to let Alex take care of this next part, because this is all his territory.
Okay, but before that, I want to say, points to Charlie Benante for rocking a Star Wars suit. Not anybody could do that, but he could.
Yes.
Now we come to a sidebar. Zakk Wylde versus The Miz in WWE 2K18. This was something that was put together because, like I mentioned earlier, this event was streamed on WWE's Facebook page. And, you know, Chris Jericho was the host, so, obviously. Short version... This whole thing lasted 30 seconds. I'm pretty sure it was a quote-unquote staged fight. Because, I mean, you'll win a game of 2K18 in 30 seconds. Have you played these games? The engines are terrible. But, yeah, that was a neat little buffer before we got to our next performance.
Yeah, our next... Let me see here in my notes... After that, we get, like, a Hailstorm interview backstage, then the band Dead, who are nominated for an award later, come out on stage to introduce a performance by the group Starset. Now, the closest I've gotten to knowing this band before was, I believe the Rock Critic once reviewed one of their albums and he wasn't too hot on it. Here's what I have to say about this song. Like, as far as the performance, it sounds okay. I really like a lot of the, you know, straining violin stuff and some of the more melodic electronic elements. But, I don't know, I can't picture myself wanting to listen to a whole album by these guys. Sounds nice, though, I guess.
I have one thing to ask. why were some of the band members dressed as astronauts, or as some people would call them, spacemen?
I don't know. It's theatrical. I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, they're allowed to be flashy. I had to sit through a fucking pointlessly unfunny Zach feud with The Miz.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
But I would like to point out at this point, I made a note that this is like an hour and a half in. We only had 3 awards handed out, and this ceremony is 3 hours and 40 minutes. We're not even halfway through yet. But afterwards, we get some members of the band Demon Hunter, which, holy fuck, these guys are still a thing? Damn, I haven't heard that name since fucking high school. But anyway, they come out on stage to present the award for Best Metal Song. And the nominees are Body Count, No Lives Matter, Dragon Force, Ashes of the Dawn, Municipal Waste, Amateur Sketch, Obituary, Sentence Day, Pallbearer, I Saw the End. And the award goes to Power Trip for Executioner's Tax, parentheses, Swing of the Axe.
All right.
Yeah, that Power Trip album fucking goes hard. That is some Taito Shito, as the Japanese would say.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, at this point, I'm pretty sure I heard a random tangent about someone rooting for the Dodgers to win the World Series for some reason. And then fucking Hollywood un-goddamn-fucking-shit-ass dead come out on stage to present the fucking Hard Rock Song of the Year, which, you want to take this one?
Sure. I'll go ahead and take this one. Now, I believe all the awards that were presented by Apple Music were tabulated via how many times the song had been played, you know, during a certain predetermined set of time and days. So, that's about as fair as it can get. So, anyway, the nominees for Hard Rock Song of the Year were Foo Fighters, Run, Fozzy, Judas, I Prevail, Alone, Nothing More, Go to War, Of Mice and Men, Unbreakable, and Starset, Monster. Most of these were pretty terrible, but the winner was I Prevail, Alone.
And, of course, we got a quick video, since the band cannot attend. Mm-hmm. Not to mention followed up by some weird live clip of them performing in, I think it was a stage, although there was a wrestling ring behind them. But yeah, whatever. I Prevail, fine. They get an award. Personally, I'd rather listen to the band It Prevails, but whatever. And then after that, out come the band Red Fang. And one of them is in a Hawaiian shirt for some reason. After this, they introduce a performance from Power Trip, which was, for me, the other big entertaining highlight of the night. These guys really are one of the best up-and-coming thrash bands, and their performance just brings that savage intensity. So, after performing Executioner's Tax, they then bring out Jamie Josta to perform a cover of Motorhead's classic We Are the Road Crew. Again, just a great performance all around. And finally, at this point, we're about halfway through the show. And then we get the next award, Minnie Parsons of Royal Thunder and Lei Kakati of Pop Evil, come out to present the award for Best Live Band. And the nominees are Amon Amarth, Anthrax, Behemoth, Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, Iron Maiden, and the Dillinger Escape Plan. Now, as I said when we covered the nominations when they first came up, this is a tough one. A lot of good shit here. I've seen, like, 4 of these guys live. There's a solid case to be made for them. But, naturally, the award goes to Iron Maiden. Well deserved. Still in their late years, they could put on a pretty killer-ass live show.
Yeah. It was pretty much either gonna come down to either a Maiden or Dillinger, and either way, it would have been great.
Yep. And, of course, Chris Jericho once again accepts the award on the band's behalf. And now, after that, we actually get a second consecutive award premiere. So, finally, things seem like they're moving. So, we get Joey Jordison and Vinnie Paul coming out, you know, 2 drummers to present the award for Best Vocalist.
And that makes sense.
Sure, but you want to take care of the nominees on this one?
Sure. Yeah, 2 vocalists presenting an award for 2 drummers presenting an award for vocalists. That's weird. Okay, so nominees for this were Chester Bennington of Linkin Park, Maria Brink of In This Moment, Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden, Miles Kennedy of Alter Bridge, Melanie Parsons of Royal Thunder, and Corey Taylor of Stone Sour. And the award goes to Chester Bennington, posthumously. Now, here's where things got pretty interesting, because Lizzie Hale came out to sort of speak about, you know, Chester's death, and, well, really, she just gave us all a talk we kind of needed to hear. Life sucks. We all have to work to make it better. We need less negativity around this world.
That is very much true. You know, if certain people would stop making life a living fucking hell, that would be great.
Don't worry, people are getting arrested as we speak.
Thank fucking Christ for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, after that moment, you know, Lizzie Hale accepts the award, pays tribute to Chester, and gives us the lecture. We get, like, this backstage bit with Sammy Hagar, and then this really... This was the longest stretch of the show for me. Just, okay, like, I get it's great that Sammy Hagar does a lot of humanitarian work and stuff. You know, great, cool, always should be working for the betterment of society. But this felt like it dragged, the montage dragged, yeah. The backstage bit dragged. Then we get this very lengthy introduction warm-up sequence from professional Will Smith impersonator. Wait, not Will Smith, Will Ferrell impersonator, Chad Smith. Fuck, tongue-tied. You know, him coming out to present this humanitarian award to Sammy, he continues with his monologue on stage, and at this point, it's fucking 2 hours and 11 minutes. We got an hour and a half left in this shit.
Yeah, I will say, you know, doing all that stuff for charity and humanitarianism, that's good stuff. But then I also have to make a joke, so I'll just get this joke out of the way. I haven't seen a long-winded humanitarian acceptance speech that big since Vince McMahon! Hoo-hoo! That's what Roman's only a couple people will get.
That is absolutely true, and I'm not one of them. But yeah, after that, we get Carla Harvey and Eddie Shepard from Butcher Babies. Oh, and God. Mixie Demner of Stitched Up Heart, they go on stage to introduce a performance by Hailstorm. Mm-hmm. Now, of the times I've heard this band, they've never done much for me, but I'll admit, this was a pretty good performance. Granted, it was just a couple of covers here. So,
yeah.
The two songs they played, first they did a cover of Fell on Black Days by Soundgarden, and it was pretty good. Like, hell, even Lizzie Hale's performance on it, even though she occasionally kind of overworks her vocals, I think, mm-hmm. It was still, like, not annoying in this context. Then again, I think that's because Fell on Black Days is such a fantastically composed song that it's literally impossible to fuck up in any way. It's like porting Tetris. You can't fuck it up. And then after that, we get a performance of the Runaways' classic Cherry Bomb with assistance from female rock icon Lita Ford.
I guess I have to be the one to poop in the punch bowl. Okay, so Fell on Black Days. That was a great cover. It was a good performance. And then Lita Ford comes out and they do Cherry Bomb, one of the worst songs ever written.
Oh, wow, you're that guy.
Yes, it's not a good song by any means. Then again, I'm also under the impression that Joan Jett isn't all that good. I'm sorry.
So you're doubly that guy.
And I don't understand why Lizzie Hale decided, I'm going to cosplay as Joan Jett tonight.
Because reasons, man. I don't make the rules.
Ugh.
But hey, we finally figured out something that Alex is that guy when it comes to. I'm so proud. And send all your hate mail his direction. I had nothing to do with this.
Bring it but on, then, bitches.
But speaking of stuff that gets on people's nerves, now we have a point of the show that fucking grinded on my nerves. Joey Kramer of Aerosmith comes out on stage, gives this fucking annoying ass... Yeah, his word Rug Generation monologue about real music and real instruments and get back to the roots and I'm gonna die of dementia in like 5 minutes. Dear God.
Oh, that shit.
My eyes rolled so far back into my head I could see my fucking brain. And I'm pretty sure this was actively giving me a tumor while watching it. Yeah, I don't care much for the... See, this is the kind of shit that makes me think that Vince Staples had a point about 90s rap heads.
Yep.
But anyway, now we delve into my territory, where he presents the award for Best Drummer. And the nominees are... Brant Daler of Mastodon, Charlie Benante of Anthrax, Mario Duplantier of Gojira, Matt Greiner of August Burns Red, Thomas Hawk from Meshuggah, and Vinnie Paul of Hell No. Now, aside from him, I would have been happy with anyone winning this award. And of course, it goes to Mario Duplantier of Gojira. And there's a video clip playing that obviously he could not be there in person. I assume he was probably off having some kind of touring commitment or something. Or maybe he locked himself in a room with a Nintendo Switch and Super Mario Odyssey. I want a Switch. I want to play the fun game. With the hats and everything.
Another medal award where the best drummer category doesn't have Mike Portnoy as a nomination. What is happening to this world?
Ah, you and Mike Portnoy. But anyway, after that, we get, you know, the obligatory In Memoriam segment, because motherfuckers be dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Especially this past fucking week or so. I know we didn't mention it, like, at any point in the podcast, but shit, a lot of people died, especially, I don't think they mentioned Fats Domino in the role, but, you know, I guess that's because he's more of a blues R&B guy instead of, like, you know, hard rock or anything. But, yeah, and that, and, God, which member of Marilyn Manson? Oh, Daisy Berkowitz also passed away this past week. So that came up in the memoriam, which was introed by the widows of, I believe, Wendy Dio, you know, Ryan James Dio's wife, and Rita Haney, who I believe was Dimebag's
partner, yeah.
Right. So we get that, we get the In Memoriam segment, and then afterwards we get the next award coming from a relic of my misspent youth, the finer days, Derek Wibley of Sum 41, and a man who is not Steve Jocks, Frank Zumo, who I guess is the current drummer. I don't know, it's been a while since I've been in tabs with this band. They come out on stage to present the award for Best New Artist. And the nominees are, I think I may have missed the name of this first, was it Black Mass? I think it was?
Black Mass.
Black Map, right.
Yeah, Black Mass is something else.
Cover Your Tracks, Dead, D-E-D, Gone is Gone, Greta Van Fleet, and Zeal and Ardor. And the award goes to Greta Van Fleet, which sounds more like a folk punk act, but... And maybe they are, I don't know, but... Whatever, these are all bands that I'm not all that familiar with, except for maybe Gone is Gone. But yeah, okay. They, you know, give this video acceptance thing, which, it was kind of amusing, but, you know, whatever. Then after that, we get the next award, which, hang on, let me double check how many awards that is sort of consecutively. So one, two, like, three, looks like.
Yeah, they needed time to change gear, but can I take this one over? I got something I want to do for it.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so for most dedicated fans, I don't even know how that's, but anyway, fan, but whatever. Okay, so nominees for this were Baby Metal, Blink-182, Hailstorm, I Prevail, Iron Maiden, and Rammstein. And the winner was Baby Metal Dies.
Yes, it was.
And then Chris Jericho came out and made some terrible dad jokes.
Oh my god, these fucking dad jokes, man.
I expect that from Fluff, not you, Chris.
But then, yeah, after that, we get two of the greatest comedians in the metal world, Brendan Small and one of the gay guys from the Sarah Silverman show, or Octus from Symbionic Titan, take your pick. Yes, Mr. Brian Posehn. They come out on stage to introduce a performance from Anthrax, who opened with Cotton Amash, which, I don't know why, but something about this performance felt weirdly low energy. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the sound setup or something, or just that they were playing slower overall.
It was a little bit slower, and I also noticed they're actually playing back in standard tuning.
Nice.
Good for you guys.
And then afterwards, we get a cover of Carry On My Wayward Son by Boston. Wait, sorry, Kansas.
Yeah, this performance was fucking awesome. And Joey sounded great. I don't know if you saw that, but Joey sounded great to me.
Yeah, it all was pretty good all across the board. Then afterwards, we get members of some band called Prayers going on stage to present the award for Hard Rock Artist of the Year. And the nominees are, In This Moment, Korn, Papa Roach, Starset, Stone Sour, and The Pretty Reckless. And if you haven't figured out the winner by now, you've been living under a rock for a while. Of course, it's Stone Sour, which I think it was the guitarists who accepted the award.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of weird. I mean, you know, this is Loudwire and Corey Taylor's nowhere to be found.
I know. Strange, right? Yeah. But then after that, we get Metal Band of the Year as presented by Beartooth. And the nominees are Avenged Sevenfold, Body Count, Code Orange, Mastodon, Metallica, and Power Trip. And the winner is fucking goddamn shit ass Avenged Sevenfold.
I hate everybody in that crowd for chanting for them when it was announced. How dare you? How dare you people?
And at this point, we're finally hitting the 3-hour mark. 40 minutes left. Basically, like an episode of Breaking Bad, minus commercials and credits. Mm-hmm. And we get this interview bit with Tony Iommi, and then afterwards, out comes Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses to present Hard Rock Album of the Year. And once again, this is one of those moments where the audio cutting out is back in full fucking force.
Yeah, Steven Adler has a fucking potty mouth.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to take care of the nominees on this one?
Sure. Nominees were At the Drive-In, Inter Alia, Highly Suspect, The Boy Who Died Wolf, Royal Thunder, Wick, Starset, Vessels, Stone Sour, Hydrograd, and that band from 2000 who did the song Last Resort with some album that they just came out with. I don't know the names.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Papa Roach, Crooked Teeth. And the winner was, of course, Stone Sour for Hydrograd. And again, Corey Taylor was nowhere to be found.
Very strange. But anyway, at this point, we are now finally at the big award of the night. And to do it up big, we got the presentation from Howard Jones of not Killswitch Engage, apparently, how they credited him. Jill Janis of Huntress. And Chuck Billy, frontman of Testament. They come out on stage to present the final award for Metal Album of the Year. And the nominees are Avenged Sevenfold, The Stage, Body Count, Bloodlust, Code Orange, Forever, Mastodon, Emperor of Sand, Metallica, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, and Power Trip with Nightmare Logic. And the winner of this award... Fucking Avenged Sevenfold, really? Really?
Screw this, I'm out of here.
In the same category that had Metallica and Mastodon. Shit, fucking... Like, okay, I even would have accepted, believe it or not, Code Orange, because at least that album was a fucking critical darling for some reason, so I would have at least understood that. But no, we go to the album that sold like shit, that only reviewed okay, that I don't think anyone even really gave a shit about, and like, really? That's what you do? Fucking hell.
This is Black Veil Brides of the Golden Gods all over again.
Hey boy.
And then, to close out the show, we got 30 minutes of Avenged Sevenfold.
30
minutes.
Wow.
You know what I could do in 30 minutes? I could watch 3 episodes of the Eric Andre Show, and that'll be like twice as repulsive and twice as entertaining.
Oh, God. Just really? I mean, pound for pound, the stage, Hardwired. Why?
Dude, like, it's not even close. As far as I'm concerned, my boys in Power Trip were robbed.
Oh, God. Another year, another metal show that just gets it wrong. When will they learn?
Oh, so wrong. But such is life, and yeah, that whole performance basically closed out this entire goddamn thing, which, fucking hell, you know, you try, Chris Jericho, dude, you try to drag the Grammys. You're on a show that drags as much as the Grammys. What position are you in to talk, boy?
Go back, finish your wings, and come back to us.
And learn how to eat a fucking chicken wing and hold the sauce down instead of spitting like a pansy. I swear to God, I've never hated a wrestler more in that moment. Ugh.
You saw The Miz there.
And I thought DJ Kelly did a fucking... did a job of eating wings.
He bounced after wing 3. But yeah, that basically closes out that. So now all we have to do is take care of the new album releases for November 3rd, 2017. Starting off at the top, A Blast from the Past. Apparently Anti-Flag are still kicking it. The punk rockers have a new album coming out called American Fall. Former Senate candidate Kid Rock with Sweet Southern Sugar. Thank God that didn't plan out. We have a compilation from the man that forced Canada to apologize on several occasions, Bryan Adams with Ultimate. A new album from forgettable metalcore act like Moss the Flame with Dark Divine. Metalcore veterans Zhao with a new EP, Pyrrhic Victory. Metalcore titans converge with their much-anticipated The Dusk in Us. This one is technically coming out probably the day you're hearing this, but it's coming out on Halloween, the most terrifying thing that's going to happen all year, Chris Brown's Heartbreak on a Full Moon.
Oh, and this shit is 45 songs.
Oh!
45 songs.
No, it is like
158 minutes.
Wait, what?
158 minutes and 33 seconds.
Chris Brown is putting out a longer album than Dream Theater's The Astonishing?
No, not even that. Wasn't there a Tupac album that was that long?
Oh, my God.
It was some shit. At least Tupac's more interesting than him.
True.
And this is longer than DJ Kelly album.
And speaking of drags, Maroon 5's latest album, Red Pill Blues.
Oh, damn.
The latest album from extreme metalers Moonspell with 1755. The newest album from death metal icons Cannibal Corpse with Red Before Black. And as mentioned before, we have Sam Smith's latest release, The Thrill of It All. So now is the part to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
Or of Azure, literally everywhere, and that's probably where you're going to find me, because we only have 1 week until terrorists have hold us all hostage. Help us!
Mark, what about you?
As usual, Mac2HyperMedia on Twitter and Curious Cat. Yeah, I'm using that for some reason. And also on my site, TheMindOfHyperOne, at thehyperone.wordpress.com. Yeah, that's it.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me at robert@surrealresolution.com if you have questions, comments, review copies, and just the crispiest memes. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just search Surreal Resolution on YouTube. You'll find it there. Be sure to follow Surreal Resolution on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitch, where we're streaming every day. And, of course, the main site, www.surrealresolution. And find us on the subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. Listen to this podcast, its past episodes, and our other great podcasts as well. If you like gaming, Training Stage, anime, podcast, O&A, movies, salty flicks. Be sure to check out our great written content. You know, we got anime write-ups, we got music shit. I'm going to have an album and an EP review going this week, so keep an eye out on that shit. Be sure to join us in our Discord. We are finally making the full transition there sometime soon, so, you know, we're going to be memeing it up in there. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That'll about do it for this week's episode of the podcast. So take care, and until next time, happy Halloween, motherfuckers!
Remember, kids, stay out of Kevin Spacey's basement!